This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron number 583, recorded, finally, on August 8th, 2018. Brian Kilby is on assignment, which means he's in North Carolina where there's thunderstorms and all other kinds of fun stuff that he's dealing with. So he's not here right now. However, we do have, well, we had Don. Don was bad in the pre-show, so we had to excuse him. He should be back shortly. He knows he can just rejoin the call, right? Anyway,
no. Does he know he's been hung up on yet?
Yeah, he knows that.
Yeah, he knows.
We had Don. We do, however, have Chris and Matt, Diecast, and Rob.
Hi.
How's everyone doing?
Excellent.
Well, Don says that was a good joke. I'm not sure if he's serious or not.
We can just see how long we go. I mean, did he say if he had anything? Maybe he doesn't have anything this week.
I'm not sure if we actually got that far.
Yeah, I don't think we did.
Most of the pre-show, he was spending his time telling Diecast why he didn't want to buy the things Diecast was recommending.
Pretty much, yes.
I don't think that really needs that much explanation. It's just, you know, Diecast is recommending them, so naturally you don't buy them.
Sure. And anyone listening on the live stream, there is currently a 15% off on eBay. So you can just peruse eBay for some hot Transformers toys and listen to us as you do it.
And you could buy Dracula like I recommended, but Don doesn't want to.
And as Don's show has started, so no rants. Let's see. So have we gotten anything? Well, I know one thing I think a lot of us have gotten, and I'm going to start because I'll let other people talk about it more, but I have this beautiful little guy here. I got my Repugnus. I love him.
I haven't actually had a chance to open mine yet.
You haven't opened yours yet?
Yeah, mine's still in the shipper box.
Oh my God. Okay, I guess I will talk about this then.
Come
on. Oh, and Rob has his.
Okay,
yes,
good.
I have mine.
Okay.
Yeah, he's showing it off now.
Yeah. Yeah, I am just amazed at how they got...
I can see him, can't you, Don?
I can see clearly now the blue box is gone.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, it is blue. But, you know, this is the third out of this mold. This might actually be the best one, really. I'm starting to think that Double Cross wasn't the best one out of the mold that he was originally for. So, but it...
Oh, Double Cross was never the best. Like, Grotesque previously was the better of the two.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, aside from me and Rob having issues where mine was missing a claw and his was missing a head.
Okay, but that doesn't count because that's not an engineering problem or anything. That's just, that's, you know, the quality control being garbage.
Yeah, it's
so
not
Jason, yours wasn't missing a claw?
No, I had luck was on my side.
It was headless.
Once you sent me the head for mine, it was really nice. So
it was, wasn't it?
Yeah. And thank you again for that. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. No problem. Anything to help out a fellow amputeed Grotesca owner. But he's really nice. I love the little, you know, the legs make a nice little thorax, which that works well. And I won't say too much more. I'll leave other people to speak about it as well. Chris, you had said you really like the packaging, which I agree. That packaging, like, super pops on him. Yeah. So, but, let's see. And, so Rob, we'll get to you. We'll let you bookend the conversation on him. Don, did you get anything?
Yeah, I got some stuff. I don't have anything to show off because it's all stuff everyone's seen. I picked up Inferno. I picked up, Blastoff and Repugnus came in as well. And I was at the Big Lit Comic Con last weekend in Roanoke, and very good little show. You know, always support your local conventions. That's how they grow and become bigger. Not a lot of Transformers there. There was a lot of toys in general, but only from a couple of dealers that had really big booths. It was a lot of cosplay equipment that you could buy. There was a lot of comic arts, comics from a comic show, obviously. A lot of comic artwork you could buy. Huge artist alley. Just an absolute two complete rows of artists, both local and national. The only thing I really picked up was another Sidearm Sideswipe, because you can never do a Sidearm Sideswipe, because that's my favorite movie toy of the entire run, I believe is that figure. And I picked up a Marvel Transformers crossover Ghost Rider, because I had sold my two on eBay several years ago when they were bringing $70 a piece, and didn't keep one for me because I wanted the $70 more than I wanted the figure. And I got it in Sidearm Side Swipe for $8. Sidearm's missing one gun, but that's okay. He's more of a spare in case my other one breaks. That's really all I got. It was a busy week for me, but I was doing a responsible adult stuff, so I didn't get a chance to do a lot of toy looking. I did go through my local Target. They had a complete selection of Cyberverse. I'll admit I'm kind of tempted on the Optimus and Megatron. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But I kinda am. But for the Optimus, it's just if that flap in front of the hand would just have folded down to give him a regular fist. Instead, it looks like he's got like brass knuckles, and you know, it's like you expect one side to say the other side to say touch, and he just, you know, he's got the touch when he pounds you with like little brass knuckles,
right?
And Megatron,
like boxing gloves, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, something like you see on Gundam Maxter from G Gundam or something.
Yeah, the RID Optimus had the same issue with the hands being covered, and they're not poseable like at all either. So you're basically getting them to stand beside each other.
Yeah, but RID, you at least could cut off that section of the hinge. So you could fold. There was a fix. You could basically shave a little plastic off.
Yeah, Diecast did a video on it.
Yeah, that's where I remember it from. But that's really all. That's really all
like I watch his videos, Don. Don't lie.
No, I watched that one.
Well, Don, I put a couple up this week that you can watch, but we'll get to those later.
Yeah, that's really all I got. I did post it on Twitter. I got the new Big Hero 6 Go-Go figure from the new line for the animated series, but that's, you know, off topic.
Okay, cool. Chris, did you get anything you actually opened this week?
Yeah, so I got the San Diego Comic-Con 2018 exclusives in. I've actually been fighting to try to transform Bumblebee for most of the time the show's been going so far and have gotten nowhere, really.
Wow.
It's kind of a crime they packaged it in vehicle mode for this because, boy, that hood does not want to come up without the toy feeling like it's going to break. And every part that can possibly separate non-destructively has come off in this process and had to be reattached. So as far as I can tell, I didn't handle the regular retail release of Studio Series Bumblebee. It's not any better and may actually be worse. I'm not sure. As for Throne of the Primes, well, it sure is the optimal Optimus mold, so I'm still kind of lukewarm on it. I mean, it looks nice in hand. This is the small Optimus, obviously. The big one, the sample I have has some loose joints a little bit. The elbows don't want to exactly stay up when you have the arm bent. The ankles are a little bit loose. The hips are a little bit loose. Like, overall, it could be a little bit tighter, but, like, it's not disastrous. I haven't had a whole lot of time to handle it. I spent this afternoon actually recording video about safely unboxing both of these toys to preserve their packaging elements, especially with Throne of the Prime, because you're going to want to keep the cardboard chair, because that's like 90% of what actually matters about this. The other being that it's a unique redeco of the Optimal Optimus design, and that's pretty much the only reason I'm interested in keeping this at this point. and unfortunately, I have not had a chance to like transform the Dino cassettes yet. The regular colors one, this one's colored similar to the original release, and it is full of metal. It is heavy and cold to the touch.
Oh, nice.
So that's actually kind of nice. And the other one is delicious clear orange. So like I'm pretty satisfied just on aesthetics alone at this point with these two. And I love the packaging the Bumblebee set came in, designed like the cassette, and it's got the little hidden drawer that the cassettes are hidden down inside of. Like, it's a really clever package design. I wish it will survive opening and taking the stuff out and then being put back together, but it's not nearly as stable once you have it all apart as the Throne set is. Like, that the Throne holds itself together. You've still got the backdrop piece behind it that you can use separately. That's a lot more sturdy and complete as a unit. The Bumblebee one is the one that I feel like I kind of want to be able to put everything back in the way it came and have it displayed that way. Yeah. But you really can't, because once you cut everything out of it, it won't sit secure in there anymore. So, you know, kind of half of one and six of the other.
Nice. And for
you
the
know what I mean.
Yeah. And for the record, I love the idea of a video on how to unbox those without damaging the packaging, because I don't think...
Yeah, I'm going to edit those and upload them overnight, so look for those on T-Formers TV on YouTube tomorrow, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
I'll be watching them. A lot like I watched Diecast's video that he put up a couple days ago. Maybe he'll tell us about... Or I think you mentioned the Repro labels last week, but did you get anything this week, Diecast?
No, the Repro labels actually came Monday, and
okay.
I did the stickers and uploaded the review of the stickers on Monday. So at tfradio.net/reviews, or if that's down, go to youtube.com/RFCReviews.
We're having some unspecified problems with the website at the time we're recording, but that should be resolved by the time anybody's actually listening to the podcast version.
Yeah.
Right. Unless you're listening live. And then, you know, just go check it out after the show. Just keep listening and then you can go check it out. But I got a bunch of stuff, and one was a mystery box because I didn't know it was coming. I didn't know what was inside of it. So, and thanks to Hasbro, we got the Retro Rock Garage, the Bumblebee, and the tapes. And you can see how it's in the packaging, how it looks really nice. And this
is the nicest packaging
Chris was talking about, where you just kind of pull that out, and there the tape's sitting inside there. And even the slip cover, they did a really nice job on it. It's got some jagged edges that are supposed to be there, and overall really nice. And they're gonna obviously do a second one,
which with the classic VW Bumblebee,
which is also going to be an exclusive, but we don't know what it's going to be for. I'm almost wondering if they're going to do New York Comic Con this year.
Entertainment Earth's release date for it is October. I wouldn't be surprised if it premieres for purchase at New York Comic Con then.
Yeah, but they usually don't have a booth at New York Comic Con, so I wonder if they're doing that this year.
They could be partnering with someone else for that too.
That's true. Yeah. But I'd be super excited for them to, in some capacity, be able to, be at New York Comic Con with some exclusive.
Yeah, so based on my experience with the Bumblebee so far, incomplete though it is, I would probably say it's a better idea to just leave the Bumblebee strapped down in the packaging and, leave that for display than try to actually get it out and do anything with it.
I also got the Game of Thrones Prime, which is what I consider it, because you get his lovely mace or staff that holds... Scepter of the Primes, that you could put headmasters in there. Or Titan Masters, if you prefer. And you also get an extra couple Prime Masters. I'm not sure.
Yeah, there's four total in there.
There's four total in there? Wow.
Yeah, Prima is actually hidden on the bottom of the wheel in the package.
Oh, wow. Oh. That's that. And, I didn't get to open it yet because I'm going to try and film it. But, yeah, I really like that. So these are different color of the same Prime Masters that we already got?
Oh, no, these Prime Masters are unreleased ones.
Oh.
Like, it's the missing ones from the regular assortments.
Yes, if you want all 13 Prime Masters, you have to buy this in Predaking to have the whole set.
Yeah.
Really? Is there going to be one in here that's not in the other sets?
All four of these in this set are exclusive to this Throne of the Primes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so you get all 13 Primes.
You can get two.
It's kind of, you have to get this, or you have to get the Takara version, which doesn't come out till January, to get all the Prime Masters.
At least you have a second chance.
Yeah.
I also found it difficult to get most of the included Prime Masters to fit in the Scepter. The slots where the heads go in, especially, is a tight fit, and it's kind of awkward to get them to squeeze into that space regardless. So I would advise caution on that.
Lovely.
And then the other monkey I got was the regular.
Oh,
nice.
I'm sorry.
Office.
Oh, cool.
And everyone knows I buy a lot on Taobao.
You can see
the box pretty crushed.
Oops.
Almost all boxes that I get from Taobao get crushed. So if you're a mint in box kind of person, do not buy off Taobao.
You might get in a baggie instead.
Yeah,
mint in baggy.
Speaking of Taobao, I got the Soundwave upgrade kit for Masterpiece Soundwave, which has a new head that lights up. And I really like this kit because the eyes are still painted. So even when you don't have the light on, he either has the yellow or the red eyes, which is really cool. He's got a tape that goes in the tape deck that actually plays sounds from the Transformers. And he has a light up gun that does not actually fold up or anything. It's just, you know, one piece, but it does light it up, light up. So that's pretty cool. I haven't gotten a chance to put it on Soundwave yet, but. And nice. It comes with a back piece for Masterpiece Megatron. If you want that back piece, if you have the official, you can throw that on there. And then the other thing I got were the first two of the Power of the Primes upscaled and recolored Dinobots, Grimlock and Slag. So they are upscaled. They're still going to combine. Actually, Slag came with his foot piece.
Hmm. How upscaled are they? Like, what does Grimlock compare to height-wise?
Grimlock, what can I guess I'll hold it up next to a deluxe.
It's a little bit bigger, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, here, I'll put Grimlock down and I'll hold him up with Slag.
Yeah, that's,
and you can see here.
Yeah, Slag looks more like a Voyager size then.
Yeah. So it's cool that they're still going to have all their combining features and all that. And they added diecast because why not? I mean, that makes everything cooler.
Didn't do much for the show.
Oh, that's debatable. But yeah, that's I think that's everything I got this week.
Yeah. Diecast, who's doing those upscales? Is it Wajang or somebody else?
Is that the Black Mamba ones?
Black Mamba, yeah.
Black your Mamba.
And the other ones haven't come out yet. They're supposed to be out early August, they said. So hopefully any day now, I'm going to get the rest of the team along with the pink Cindersore, which just reminds me, like, that would be RC if she was a Dinobot.
I wonder if they're going to do original colors versions or if it's just going to be the primaries.
Yeah, I don't know.
You said they added diecast to them. Is there any kind of reinforcement of the shoulder joints on Grimlock out of curiosity?
Or is that even still clear plastic in the first place?
I'm hoping it's not. But
it's not clear plastic. I don't that's remember. A start. Yeah, it's black plastic.
Okay. So.
Yeah, it was the framework, of course. It was the torso itself, which I can see is opaque red from there, which that is already an improvement.
Yeah, so. Yeah, the weight of it is really nice. I don't think they added a ton of diecast in these figures, but where they added it seems pretty nice.
If they get some legit G2 colors, that'd be cool, too.
I got some paint rub just because of the way it gets shipped, and the boxes were all crushed beyond belief. So just the fact that the figures aren't broken, I'm lucky. So that's the kind of condition they come in. So,
all right, cool. Matt, what did you get?
All I got was Repugnus, but he's pretty great. So I did put the Takara head that came with Legends Brawn, I think.
Yes.
On there, because I like that better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did have some problem with mine getting him into monster mode. The legs did not want to clip onto his hips.
Yeah, it's tight.
It was a battle. It was a battle.
That's endemic of all of those three toys, though.
No, I mean this was by far the worst instance I've had of it.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
You got to use some force. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had that experience with Twinferno and Double Cross and Grotusk, though.
Yeah, I've had problems with both of the original or previous two molds getting them to stay, but I've never had to force it into place like I've done with Repugnance. But other than that, I really like this. And just saying, I think a recolor of this would be perfectly acceptable as squeeze play. Just, you know, not perfect, but acceptable.
Hmm.
Yeah, it can be done. All right, and Rob, obviously Repugnus, anything else?
Yeah, I got my replacement tailgate from XV, along with a couple of Mega Bloks Destiny sets I didn't have, and thank you again for sending those along. And yeah, Repugnus is the big thing I got this week. Thank you to X-Ray Monkey, who is one of our viewers, who sent that to me. I like it. I think it's great. The only problem on mine is the paint on the thighs is really thick, and it's the turning the thighs is really difficult. On one side, the peg is wearing the paint down. On the other side, I'm not convinced the paint isn't wearing the peg down instead.
Wow.
So, you know, I'm a little bit nervous of that. I'm not sure whether to take them off and try and scrape some out of that socket or, get out the silicone shock oil, but I kind of want to do something just to try and protect the thing. But yeah, I like it a lot. I'm glad I got it. Thank you so much to X-Ray Monkey for doing that. And one thing that I like about this package that I don't know if anybody else noticed, once you cut everything out, just like with some of the packages Chris was talking about, blast off the Prime Master and his weapons would just rattle around in the box, but Repugnus's accessories all actually stay where they're supposed to be when you set the box upright.
Oh,
good.
So that is a definite improvement in packaging just since the last one. So that's nice.
Nice. All right. Well, in that case, we'll move on to this week in history, and this is a big one as far as they go, because in 1986, on this day, the Transformers the movie is released in U.S. theaters. And kids around the world stared in shock as everyone they love died in horrible, terrible ways.
I can't wait till that comes out in the theater. I never saw it in the theater because 1986, I would have been 4. So
I was 2.
Yeah. I was 14. I was there in the theater.
Did
with
you cry?
My cousins.
No, I thought you were born in 1970.
I was.
Were there kids?
I'm sorry. I was thinking something. I'm sorry. Yeah, I was 16.
Were there kids crying in the theater?
I don't remember.
Crying in the theater?
No, and people have asked me that at BotCons and stuff, and I'll say why. Because I was so shocked by the massacre on the shuttle that Prime's death never really hit me until the end of the movie when he didn't come back.
Yeah.
Pretty much when he says "Arise, Rodimus Prime," and
that's when you start.
Okay, that's kind of when it all hit you, because the movie doesn't really, once Prime dies, the movie just sort of doesn't let up. It just keeps going and going and going, and honestly, I was so shocked by the death in the first 10 minutes. It took Rodimus Prime actually appearing for me to realize, hey, they're not bringing Prime back. Holy. And that's when it all hit me. I didn't cry, but that's what happened. That's what happened.
Do you have the answer to why the Junkions could put Ultra Magnus back together, but they couldn't fix Prime?
They had a lot better healthcare plan.
Well, I think the answer is obvious. Optimus Prime wasn't there at the time.
That too.
Yeah. But they could have diverted. Hey, you can fix people. We got a leader we need you to fix.
To be fair, that is a good point.
Now, he was probably already on the funeral barge, and then they forgot where it was.
Well, there's another thing to consider, too, though. So when Optimus Prime died, he turned gray. When Starscream died, he turned gray. Ultra Magnus never turned gray, so he didn't actually die. He was just dismembered.
Dismembered, yeah.
He was just in agony. His body parts were sprung all
over. So he was just further along.
He was merely living in hell. Yeah.
Twas just a flesh wound.
Hey, nice Eric Idle connection. Very well done, well done. All right, so no big major news anything this week, at least nothing
that
we could think of.
Not much news at all this week, to be honest.
But we do have some high-res images of the TF Encore Big Convoy. And as
images.
In images. I think I just show titled myself. Jeez. And
it happens to the best of us.
Oh yeah. Now I have like no experience with this toy, but I gotta tell you, I love this thing in these colors.
Yeah, it's really pretty. Don't buy it.
Oh really?
Yeah. But, well, no. If you don't have Ultra Mammoth, I would say you might want to pick this up.
Well, no, I'm recommending don't own this mold.
Oh really?
It's not the most notoriously hard transformation from Beast Wars Neo, but like it's not fun.
No, it's
and it wears hard. Almost all the mammoth as armor, but armor. there's a picture on TF Wiki, I think, that basically shows like all the mammoth pieces taken off and put together to form basically a complete mammoth while the robot is standing next to it.
So basically he's an action master with a partner that he wears.
Seems yeah, like it.
Or a really weird pretender.
Yeah. Or one of the earliest Brave toys no one knew about. Because that's very brave. Thing? Yeah, just basically your partner is your armor.
Gotcha, yeah.
So how do we feel about the $8,000 yen price point? Probably a little high than I'd say.
I think that's fair given the mass and complexity of the toy in today's market. I'll be expecting it to be a little bit more.
Yeah. I'll be honest. When I saw that price, the first thing I did was go to eBay because I remember the time when you could get Sonic Kong big convoys. And Sonic Kong is basically Takara's partner in Korea. Same quality.
Were licensed Korean releases.
Yeah. And I've never had a problem with anything Sonic Kong, but you could get that Versus set that came with Big Convoy versus Magmatron. Magmatron and Big Convoy for like $65 for this huge Versus set at every BotCon as long as I can remember. And it's like, this can't cost that much. You can go, what? And the Sonic Kong ones are now like 95 to and up, so it's
that's still a better deal.
Yeah, it's
not exactly comparable since this is redecoed to be more accurate to the animation. But at the same time, yeah, there are other options you can pursue.
Yeah.
I don't really like Magmatron, so that's not really a selling point for me in that hypothetical situation. Yeah. But another option, if you want to like go secondary market and are okay paying $80 to $100 anyway, find the Universe 2004 Nemesis Prime version of it.
Target exclusive.
Yeah, that's what I have. Yeah.
Same here.
It's just a shame the Ultra Mammoth prices have skyrocketed because that's really the best. I mentioned this on Twitter. That's really the best name and best use for that mold is Ultra Mammoth. I'm sorry, it really, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of being accurate to the animation model, we also have high res images of the animated colors. Yeah. Wheeljack. So
MP20 plus.
Yeah,
this one I'm torn on because I'm such a big Wheeljack fan and I really like how he looks in robot mode. And I think if I buy him, I would display him in robot mode and just put my other Wheeljack masterpiece in vehicle mode because, man, that vehicle mode looks terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I was never really of the thought that animation colors Wheeljack was a good idea, and it shows more in the vehicle mode than the robot mode, totally.
I mean, that is my plan. My toy version will be in the car display, and the animation one will be robot. God, I've already pre-ordered this.
So. Who's surprised? I mean, show of hands? Anyone?
I mean, I pre-ordered it too, so...
The Who's surprised? Anyone? Show of hands?
The lack of, like, Bueller? any sponsor detail or stickers or anything kind of takes it down a notch, too.
So what I want to see, and I'm being totally serious here, I want to see them do a concept for, like, what exhaust would have looked like as an animation model.
There you go.
It would have basically been close to what we got.
I think it would have actually been even simpler than that.
Yeah.
And we have...
You know what that vehicle mode looks like, sorry, Jason? You know what that vehicle mode looks like? It looks like the Combiner Wars Wheeljack.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Which, I will say, I like more because I got Repro labels and stickered the living crap out of that thing. So that should probably tell you something.
Yeah, I'm going to turn mine into, you know, exhaust in all but name with that Reaper label set.
Right.
I've done that. It looks fantastic.
Like 3-4 years has been really great for toy hacks, hasn't it?
Oh God, yeah.
Really, I mean.
I mean, I literally ask for much more.
Yeah, especially now that the Takara releases are identical to the Hasbro ones.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I literally place an order with them once, like every 3 months at this point.
Yeah, it's just for all the toys you bought in the last 3 months.
Exactly. And eventually I go, well, I guess I can buy this one now, too. Like, I've been holding off on Fan Toys Repugnus because it really hasn't done anything for me, but I'm also got sets for the other two Monster Bots from Fan's Hobby, so I guess I might as well get that one, too. So
That logic is terrible.
It is, but I find...
It's the most financially irresponsible logic I can think of.
Buying every mold that Fan's Hobby comes out with is bad financial logic, and that's also what I'm doing. So,
well, you know, it's weird that I still would love to see Toy Hacks repo labels just do the. I know we've talked about this before. I wish they would just do the labels. Hasbro would hire them to do the labels, and you know, just have that kind of quality label in the box ready to go.
I mean, Fan's Hobby did that for their Prime trailer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would say third parties should do it definitely because they don't have the means. Like X2 Toys, when they did that big computer, which is Teltran, is the stickers on that are terrible. And if you watch my review, I have the stickers on it and then I remove it. And then I have a shot of it without any stickers, and then I put the Toy Hack stickers on, and there is so much of a difference. It actually makes me want to keep it instead of throw it in the trash.
Wow.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when I paid like $100 for the big computer, and if you get them at US retail, I believe it's close to like $200. So...
All right, moving on, we do have images of, well, let's see, we've already seen Power of the Prime's Throne, so we've already seen that. We've already seen Repugnus, we've already talked about Animation Wheeljack, but there's the Grotesque Repugnus 2-pack, which, that's still a thing.
It's important to note that the Throne of the Primes that they're showing in the Dengeki photos does look functionally identical to the Comic-Con exclusive version, so that should be a viable alternative if you can't get the summer release here.
Also, yeah, which I'm surprised about, because I always thought the SDCC was special, too. But
apparently all the rules are changing now, Diecast.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a feeling that that is entirely because if you want all 13 Prime Masters, you have to get this set. I'm willing to bet that probably would not have happened otherwise.
Okay.
It's also worth noting, though, that Grotesque and Repugnus do not come with their bonus Titan Master and Prime Master in that set. So if that's something important to you, you will still want the US releases of those.
Hmm.
Yes, and, which, according to current Amazon pricing, will set you back over $100.
Oh, wow.
Yikes.
TFRDR.net/Amazon. So that's the only one they didn't do, right?
Interesting that.
Hmm.
Now that you mention it.
But when you've got people in Japan that are still trying to complete mini cons from all the Chase mini cons from a few years back who are still trying to complete their sets. You think they would not get these Titan Masters out to try to make sure the fans were not, you know, riding in the streets? Because
well, the other thing, too, is, like, if Takara was going to try to find some way to get these out, otherwise they'd have to make some kind of special set, and they would need something to... it would end up being, like a Tokyo Toy Show exclusive or something, like the Titan Master set was last year with the all the head sculpts they didn't get as part of their regular toys. Like, I think it's probably just better overall for everybody involved that they just are able to release this whole already put together product that Hasbro developed. And considering that Throne of the Primes only cost $10 more for our convention pricing than that Bumblebee with those cassettes cost, I really feel like some of the cost for that was amortized between Hasbro and Takara both. Because, like, that's a whole lot more toy, it feels like, for just a small increase in price and more packaging complexity, too. So that's I'm sure this is something they had planned right from the beginning.
All right. Now, this next one I'm actually interested to talk about because this is the new Bumblebee movie image from Empire Magazine. Better get a bigger couch. Now, I will say, seeing this image, I am so not, and I'm sure Matt doesn't want to hear this, but I'm getting more, everything I see about this movie is just making it look better and better. Like, this image is, it's silly, it's kind of stupid, but compared to the scene of the bots in the first movie out in the garden and how stupid that was, this just looks funny and cute and the type of movie that I think we're actually going to get from a director who does those kind of movies.
Here's hoping.
This looks more like Harry and the Hendersons.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Good comparison.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. Oh, see? Yeah, even the positivity from Matt on it. So, yeah. Bumblebee movie.
Yes, keeps, maybe we can actually get Matt to go watch this one if we can all vet it as being not the same as the last five.
I mean...
Yeah, would that be enough, Matt?
Just spin it the other way.
I'm not
though.
Sure how much I trust you guys, actually. So.
Darn it, he's on to us.
I mean, to spin it the other
Matt,
way. Though,
look at this face.
I was going to say you should at least trust me, but no, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
hell no.
Don's the only one you probably could trust, Matt.
Is this any different than when Bumblebee was in Sam's garage?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Michael Bay is not involved this time.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it's not really new to me for Bumblebee to just be hanging out.
Well, he's not in a garage. Yeah. He's in a house sitting on a couch. Yeah. So it is different.
There is definitely a difference there.
I get what you're saying, though. There's an awful lot of parallels to the first Transformers movie in this. And I'm basically okay with that because it's probably the best movie out of all five of them. So...
That's sad, considering how I feel about the first movie.
Yeah, I mean, just if we could get some of the, like, how do I put it, some of the structure of that movie done by someone who understands how to human, we might actually get something decent out of it.
Well, yeah, and that seems to be the point. I think from the little bits and pieces I can put together, it seems like Travis Knight looked at what the first movie was doing in the, the character-focused boy in his car thing that was sort of kind of there in the first, like, 5 minutes, and then fell apart. And it's like, you know, if we did that right and actually stuck to it, that could probably be a good movie. And I think that's what we're trying to see here. Like, all the publicity stuff so far seems to kind of point in that direction. Part of the whole movie is just about Bumblebee and Charlie developing this bond, and then you have the Decepticons come in to supply the peril for that situation. But, like, I feel like this could actually turn out this time and not turn into what the 2007 movie turned into with the weird hacker subplot that went nowhere and the, you know.
Yep. Decepticon hackers. And I also will say, took my son to the movies for the first time ever this weekend. And before the movie, they played the Bumblebee trailer, and he was super excited to see Bumblebee on the big screen. And I swear it was just dust in my eyes when he did that. All right, moving on. Transformers movie studio series, upcoming deluxes, packaging photo leaks. Oh, let's see. We've got the Hound, which this would be Dark of the Moon Hound, right, with the coloring.
Ratchet.
Oh, Ratchet. Yeah, Ratchet. Yeah.
There was no Hound in Dark of the Moon.
You're right, there was no. That wasn't until the fourth one. It was just, you know, it's been a night. Shadow Raider, the Volkswagen Bumblebee, which I want to get that one, but after watching Chris, because it's basically the same mold as the previous studio series, right? Just with different...
So. I don't think you could squeeze a Volkswagen around what this is doing.
Okay. Yeah, no, it is completely different.
Okay,
I'm
good.
Looking at it right now, yeah.
so I don't have to worry about pieces popping off, hopefully, while transporting.
Well, I'm not going to say that. Don't make me go that far.
But, you know, between this and the Energon Igniters and probably a movie masterpiece to be named later, like if you want a Bumblebee in the Volkswagen body based on the movie design, you'll probably have several options to choose from if one doesn't quite do it for you.
Yeah,
I'm definitely down with the Volkswagen one then.
Also, that fourth picture in that gallery, I think, is totally lies. There's no way that's 6 inches tall.
No, yeah. Given how Studio Series is, it's probably like 3 inches tall.
4 inches tall.
Yeah, three or yeah, four
it's inches tall. Probably the same height as the Camaro Bumblebee, honestly.
Probably, yeah.
Probably. Yeah. I bet if you wanted to, you could probably take a Studio Series box and measure it and figure out what percentage of that it actually takes
up. Don't put that idea in my head, Rob. You know I'll do that.
Well, the doors are kind of like an inch above his head, so that might be possible.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cheesy.
Yeah. You can kind of, matter of fact, you can kind of see where the hips are like tilted back a little bit in that photo, just so the doors do not come quite up so far over his head, it looks like.
Yeah. And look in the one picture where he's actually in the box, it looks like he comes with an alternate head, which is we don't usually get that.
I think there's a mask head and a regular head.
Yeah. But we usually don't get that. We usually don't get alternate heads with
true
deluxe figures.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
My estimate was that these were going to turn into kind of Marvel Legends when they went to boxes anyway, so.
Yeah.
But it certainly does. The extra pieces certainly do reduce it, the chances of it actually being as tall as that thing says it is.
All right, and rounding out our just jam-packed news section this week, G1 exclusive Devastator was spotted in stores in Canada. So he's on shelves in North America.
I understand it was briefly in stock on Walmart.com in the U.S. today, too, but is since sold out again. Mm.
I mean, how many of these did they make? Like 10?
Maybe.
And they all went to Canada.
Jeez. I'm really... Yeah, so, remember me if you see the mini bots on Walmart.com's website, because I want to order all four of them.
Yeah, so those look like they're about $8 U.S. pricing, and Devastator is $74.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm feeling Devastator for that much.
The one report I've heard about someone who's actually bought and handled that, apparently it's a lot better quality than the Encore release from a few years ago. So if you are going to pay a steep-ish price, and it's not even that bad, but if you're going to pay the price for this, it does sound like it's actually worth it based on how it turned out.
Were there any remolds to that other than the face?
Well, the face was the animation accurate one was a separate release entirely. So this is just based on the first Encore release, if I understand correctly.
Okay, I thought Encore was the one that got that new head sculpt. But...
There were two Encore Devastators. One was toy version. One was animation version.
Oh, okay.
And I lied. There was one more little piece of information. MP10 Golden Convoy. Or Convoy Golden Edition, available for pre-order. So before you spend $300 on the third Optimus Prime Masterpiece, why don't you spend another $180 on a gold-plated Optimus that just does not look good at all.
It's got gold IMO. Plastic and gold plated, which is like, it just, I can't get behind
some of those plastics box. You just can't chrome.
Yeah, but there are KOs that have chromed everything. Not that
they're using the wrong kind of plastics in the wrong places, diecast.
Maybe.
Alternately, they don't care once you have it what happens to it. So if that all chips when you transform it, it's not their problem.
Yeah, I don't think it's even a lucky shipping. Draw. All chrome usually.
Yeah, but I mean it's kind of the same thing. They could just run that as whatever plastics because I don't think they expect someone to transform or try to do anything with a lucky draw figure.
Yeah.
And it's not even necessarily a matter of the chrome, like, flaking off faster. Like, some of those plastics, I don't think the chrome will even adhere to it in the first place.
Mm.
I don't know. I just don't like the look of it with the two-tone.
It's not the best outcome, honestly. I understand why it's the way it is. I don't think it is good the way it is. There's a difference there, trust me.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure is. Ernest Fraser in the chat did mention that there is the IDW news that there will be rebooting Transformers in 2019, but really that's all there is. I mean, they didn't say anything at SDCC.
Didn't we already know that?
Not officially.
I knew the current continuity was ending, but right. There hadn't really been anything said about when something new ongoing was going to start afterward.
Okay.
About the most important thing out of that story is that the president of IDW was asked, you know, was it a coincidence that you ended this universe when your contract with Hasbro was up? And he said, basically, yes, the contract is renewed. We have a great relationship with Hasbro, and we're looking forward to continuing it.
Yep. Sounds about what you'd hear.
Yeah. Yep. Although, I mean, you could still read into that like, terms of the new contract are that, you know, the content becomes this, and this instead of that.
Could be.
But that's all speculation. We have no evidence to that effect. It's just what I hear when I read that.
Yeah. So look out. Probably NYCC will get more. We'll also hopefully see some Decepticons for Siege. And once you see those Decepticons, you can go to tfradio.net/Amazon and hopefully maybe put a pre-order, order a TV,
dryer.
Yes.
There you go.
I ordered a dryer off of the Amazon link this week. So
awesome.
That'll be Rob's what he got this week, next week's show.
Yes.
If it doesn't transform, it transforms
your clothes from wet to dry.
Dirty to clean. Yes.
It's an accessory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As someone who did his first 50 podcasts by placing his laptop on top of a washer dryer, I appreciate that very much. That was part of it. I didn't have a set recording space like I do now, obviously. And the acoustics were pretty good. I just put a towel on top of the washer dryer and I had a Blue Yeti back then, so it's not like I really was doing much as far as sound quality anyways, but so yeah, tfradio.net/Amazon. tfradio.net/punch, since Punch Counterpunch will be the next one of those coming out in the next month here, and hopefully
he'll be September available. 15th, I think.
Something like
September
that.
September 3rd, I thought.
No, it's definitely a one in front of it. 15th or 18th, one of those two, I think.
Well, you know, we could just go to tfradio.net/punch right now, and
that is tfradio.net/punch. If we say it enough times, he like appears on screen, right? I wish I had a picture
of Brian. No, that was our theory with Kilby.
Yeah, that's true.
Say Brian's name three times in a mirror, and he'll appear behind you.
I'm just going to my orders like to see.
15th.
Okay.
Okay.
Chris nailed it. Oh, and don't forget, you can also go to tfradio.net/shirt, and you can buy a shirt.
We have all kinds of cool designs done by our own John DeLuna, who may or may not be listening to chime in on this very point right now. John DeLuna, if you're listening and not playing Street Fighter, please unmute your microphone and start talking so I can stop right now.
John emailed to let us know he was off this week, too.
His fan is on. He can't speak right now, which is fine. I'm okay with that. But yeah,
look, there's a G2 Robot Collector shirt, and everybody should go buy it because it's really cool. I'm waiting for the orange version myself that he promised he would do for me.
How's that coming,
I think
John?
It's just waiting for that 2-week approval window.
But if you buy this one as well, then you could have two G2 shirts.
But I can't wear them both at the same time, so like, how does that serve me? What we need is G2 Robot Collector t-shirt, and then also like a button-down shirt so I can wear that over the t-shirt and then have both at once.
I like how you think. So, you know, John, more work for you. Orange is submitted. We have an official word.
Or if we can start making hats.
Oh, we need hats. We need everything. Towels. We need towels. We need water bottles. Stress balls. Everything. All right, I'm going to stop now. Hey, Rob, what's on T-Formers this week?
Not too much. Some more images from the behind-the-scene images from the Bumblebee movie. And also the Power of the Primes Wreck-Gar has... Oh, that's the Transformers, the movie, behind the scenes. Don't mind me.
You're focusing on the behind part, weren't you?
Yeah, I didn't write that headline.
No, neither did I.
Yeah, But yeah, I'd say there's a YouTube clip from Fathom Events showing, I'm pretty sure we saw it last year or the year before when the Blu-ray came out.
Oh yeah, probably showing the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah, showing the restoration. But also, yes, Power of the Primes Rekgar has appeared in the Walgreens computer, has appeared in on the website, and I will give you the same warning that was in the story, which is that if you check the website and it says in stock at your store, it will show in stock for any generations deluxes your store may have. So if you've seen, yep, like I have, Chrome Dome and Scourge for the last like year and a half, and it says Rekgar is in stock, Rekgar is probably not in stock yet. Give it a month.
Or two.
Or two.
Yeah. It's also not orderable on the website. We should probably, you know, make that part clear also.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went there looking and didn't see it, so hopefully soon.
But if you're in, if you have an EB Games or a GameStop in Canada, apparently that's how they're getting this in Canada. And yep. Yeah, I was the same with the clones last year. There.
Yeah.
And it is just EB Games in Canada. It's the same company as GameStop, but they kept the EB branding in Canada when they bought the company.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sadly, they did not keep the Funko Land branding anywhere when they bought Funko Land.
I worked for Funko Land for a long time.
Funko Land was a cool place.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I remember, it's in the name.
I remember when I first found out about Funko Land. Yeah, this was in like 1991 or 1992, and at that point there were still so few video games they could actually print out a sheet with all the prices of all the video games they could possibly ever have. Like, that's
wow.
It just kind of blows your mind today with like that would be impossible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that wasn't the case when I was there. The cool thing about Funko Land, at least the in my area and the one I worked at, is you could actually go in and be like, oh, I think I want that game. And we would be able to put it into a machine and you would be able to try it because we had one of almost every system set up. So that was pretty cool. Like, you'd be like, oh, I want to try that game. And then if you liked it, you'd buy it.
Yeah, they had the demo stations like that when I remember going there when I was young. It was partly for like, yeah, you could test drive the game to see if you actually liked it. It was also partly because like, you could make sure the game actually worked because Nintendo cartridges.
Yes, about the only thing they didn't have set up was the Sega CD, and the couple of times that I got games from there, that took some resurfacing.
Hmm.
That All was right. before, you know, commercial resurfacers were readily available, so that was a party.
Oh, boy.
Don, would you be so kind as to read detailed descriptions of the myriad, the plethora, the veritable cornucopia of shows that came out on tfradio.net. Oh, it's one. What's on the network, Don?
Well, what's on the network this week? RPG Lessons Learned, Episode 66. Caleb of Sounds Like Crows discusses West Marches. On this episode of RPG Lessons Learned, Dusty and Mike interview Caleb from Sounds Like Crows podcast, who discussed the 30-player West Marches campaign at GM'd.
He GM'd.
Yes,
he GM'd. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was a typo. I thought it was GM'd. Okay.
Yeah, to be fair, reading GM apostrophe D, just it doesn't look right. So I'm right there with you, Don.
Made sense to me.
Well, good. I'm happy for you. Diecast, we know about one review. Were there any others in the last week?
Oh, it was the big computer and... I mean, I feel like the Dinobot review is new because I still have people commenting on it about how terribly I treated Dinobot and how I beat him into a pulp. But yeah, it I think Dinobot it. Was last week.
Well, and I mentioned this in pre-show, and you know, we can talk briefly about this. But yes, obviously there's arm issues. And it seems like the earlier you got your Dinobot, the more issues there were. But it was clear from what you showed on the video last week, like he doesn't stand straight. But yeah. I haven't really seen that in any of the other reviews I've seen. So I really think that you got a really bad copy of Dinobot.
Yeah, it is so hard as a reviewer to guess whether the problem you're having is something that is endemic to the entire run or if it's just yours. And making
in a case where it's a weak joint, I'm more inclined to think, okay, this is going to be probably more individual variation than in the whole run, but I will advise that this is something that you should be on the lookout for with your copy, but I'm not going to say like every one of them is going to be this way. in something that's more obvious, an engineering problem, which, I mean, that's still kind of a judgment call, but, like, there's some stuff that's clear to be endemic to the toy as a whole, rather than just, like, well, these parts didn't cure quite the same as these other parts, and so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. it's kind of like my Trypticon, because not the hip itch issue which a lot of people had. I actually had one of the ratchets, the teeth was off just a little bit, so the one leg was never lined up with the other, and I had to take it apart and actually turn the ratchet. It was just the way it was assembled. It was a misassembly, but it was just the fact that the feet would not stay level, and it drove me nuts, and I had to take it apart to fix it. Lovely. And that was definitely like a one-off. So, I mean, weird things do happen. But other people have had the arm breakage that I've had. So, obviously, it wasn't just me.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing I want to say is that we've all talked about this before, and the quality of the instructions that we're getting on general release toys is bad enough. But when you're having this kind of trouble on this expensive of a figure, I'm going to fall back to what I said on Twitter. High dollar toys don't need bargain basement instructions. And we've pushed for Hasbro's car to start doing online video instructions competently. And, you know, it's been brought up through the years, and I've pushed for it on my own, along with several other reviewers out there. And, yes, I know. But, you know, you should have the best quality instructions for a toy like that to make sure you don't have, well, does this part bend this way or does it bend snap? Yeah. Well, it doesn't apparently bend that way. So... I want Takara and Hasbro to start realizing that these printed instructions are not cutting it. And y'all should not be having this kind of issues doing this figure. I know a lot of people just grab the figure and start doing it. I couldn't do that with a toy that price. I would sit down with the instruction manual, or I'll find a reviewer that I trust.
Yep.
And I would watch, and I would watch the video, because I don't trust, even on mainline $15 toys, when you can make out what they're doing,
$20 still toys can't now make.
Gone. Oh yeah. when you can see the pictures and the instructions, you still have no idea what's being moved where, and that's on a mainline $20 toy.
I mean, so I did read the instructions first, and I did go through the instructions.
Yeah,
and I switched a little bit when I was filming, just because I was like, this, there's definitely a better way to transform this than what the instructions say.
Many people and said that. Yeah.
Part that I struggled on with getting the side of the chest lined up was the way the instructions told me to do it.
Yep.
And that's when people are like, oh, you're putting too much force. You can tell because your hands are shaking. But that was actually a step that I was following in the instructions. Now that I played with it a couple more times and transformed it a couple more times, if I wouldn't have followed the instructions and I've kind of evolved the transformation a little bit, I can actually do it without struggling now because I'm not following the instructions anymore. But the first time, and then this, you know, the time after that, and then when I did the review, I was still kind of leaning on the instructions for the transformation.
So, Rodimus Supreme had a response to Don's call for official video instructions, which is a point I was going to raise too, which is basically just questioning, could Hasbro really do effective video instructions? Like, he thinks everything in it would be wrong. That's an exaggeration, obviously, but we've seen, like, you know, when they have the stock photography done, there's usually errors of some kind all through the various stock photos. And when the third parties have their video instructions done, they partner with video reviewers that they're familiar with and are, you know, they know that those people can demonstrate in a clear and in the intended way how to do this, where Hasbro would probably have to outsource that production. And we'd have the same problem as with the stock photos thing. Right. Like, it's not a bad idea in itself, Don. Just the level Hasbro would be able to execute it probably would not live up to your expectations either.
And I think the fact that they wouldn't have the instructions in the box when they bought the toy. And they're like, you're telling me I have to take this toy home, go on my computer, watch someone transform it to show me how to transform it before I can play with it.
Well, okay. I mean, you're right. I understand that, but I'm just saying if Hasbro and Takara would see what we're the frustration that we're seeing, maybe that would at least get us better instructions. But I didn't want to call out any one reviewer, but I want to do this just because I think this reviewer is it.
In case Don says something bad, that's all.
Oh, no. There's a reviewer on YouTube called Tafu, and Paladin pointed him out to me. He's Japanese only, Japanese language video instructions. His instructions are so crystal clear on every connector point, every pin, every fold. Even with me not speaking, but maybe one word out of 30 in Japanese as far as understanding a word, I can transform most anything he reviews because he shows exactly where the pins are, pressure points, hinges that might, you know, need a little extra care, tabs, and stuff like that. And I'm saying Takara could look at some of their native reviewers for to handle the Japanese side. If they found someone that they thought did a good job to do their official instructions, and they got someone like our friend Hydra to do translations, there's no way they couldn't dub somebody just repeating what he's saying into English properly and use those videos as at least, you know, for more information, go look at this video. I'm just saying it's possible, you know, and I'm just pointing out this one reviewer. I'm not slighting anybody else. I'm just saying if I can understand someone in the Japanese language and still transform a figure he's reviewing because of the level of detail he shows, then there's merit, I think, to that.
I think in a situation where Hasbro is going to put more resources into the instructions for the toys, it would be more beneficial in the long run to focus that effort into making better print instructions to put
into
the toys.
Oh, yeah, I agree. It's
the hold up there, of course, is that they have to try and get instructions that don't require words so that they can release them the same set of instructions in toys across all territories. That's one of the biggest problems we're having with this. The thing I keep thinking about, if Hasbro tried to do instructional videos, which that might be a hold up for them as well, is the fact that if they were to do those even as a supplement to the printed instructions, I have a feeling that it would be a situation like Hasbro Pulse, which I am still certain that the, you know, creation of Hasbro Pulse was, here, you do this in addition to your normal job and you don't get any extra time or money for it. So they probably leave it to the design team to actually do the videos, and I'm sure they would every once in a while when they actually had time.
Right. You know, and I'm not trying to say everything's bad. Whoa. I'm just saying it needs to be better.
Well, yeah.
And they can, I mean, it has to be better than what we're getting now. And I know the video thing is it's kind of the long way of doing things, but I'm just saying if we keep getting more and more expensive toys with bad instructions, we might have to, I mean, what if we start even ignoring Hasbro's instructions completely and start going to online reviewers because we can't trust the instructions?
I think we do that. That's now, Don.
Well, I mean, yeah. Even more. I mean,
what's wrong with that?
As a like,
what's wrong with that? Come watch me.
But I mean,
well, watch someone anyway.
I need the subscribers, please. Subscribe. I mean, that'll help too.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not trying to cause issues. It's just, better printed instructions is the obvious answer, but eventually it's going to get to the point where if these toys keep getting more expensive as they are and the instructions don't match, no one's going to have faith in Hasbro's and Takara's instructions, and we're going to turn more and more to video reviewers. So either they can either jump ahead of the curve and not leave money on the table.
That doesn't make them more money, though.
Well, no, it causes them
money. Yeah, it costs money.
It does. It could also give them less customer dissatisfaction, which in a way is more money.
Hasbro hires me. I'm not very expensive, and I'll transform whatever you want and video it.
Okay.
You know, break the occasional shoulder.
You know,
even like setting aside like the clarity of how the instructions are formatted, like the images they show. It's really bad right now with the Hasbro ones because they're still doing like the color design for them as if it's the glossy paper, but they're printing it on that flat paper and all the contrast gets eliminated that way. And it's really, really hard to see the details of what's going on, whether or not what those pictures are showing is actually helpful in the first place.
That's something I forgot to mention. Absolutely right, because I get some of the Asia releases and they have both instructions in them. They have the glossy instructions and the flat non-glossy instructions. The glossy instructions are 100 times better.
Yeah, it's the same pictures.
Yeah, same pictures. It's just the clarity is so much better on
the glossy. Yeah, because like the Cogman you got for me had both kinds of instructions with it. I was able to see that firsthand. And yeah, it is almost literally the difference between night and day. If Nitro, when I had Nitro at first, if that had the glossy instruction thing, I probably would not have spent 45 minutes with one piece backwards because I would have been able to actually see what they were trying to get me to do with that step.
Well, potentially good news is that Repugnus actually has instructions on glossy paper.
Yeah, I was showing on stream. You guys just can't see it because my camera died. Right. My second camera died before. But
yeah. Interestingly, that's another thing that I find a slight improvement over Blastoff. Blastoff had slightly like glossy paper, like it was the same like quality as the non-glossy paper they've been using, but just like a slight clay coat. But Repugnus's instructions are much better quality.
Yep. Come to think of it, did Bumblebee even come with instructions? The Bumblebee Rock Garage thing?
I think the instructions were pick it up off the floor.
I mean, it would have had an insert.
It would have had to have had instructions.
You would think
that, but I don't remember seeing an insert.
Interesting. Well, Chris looks
probably
for that.
Stuck in the box somewhere.
Because the Throne of the Primes one just fell out of the package when I opened it.
Of course.
The Bumblebee instructions were probably leave Bumblebee in the box untouched, play with the dino cassettes.
Yes. You know you bought this for the cassettes. Okay, there they are.
Yeah, there's a little space in between where Bumblebee sits and where the cassette drawer is. So it was just wedged in there.
Nice.
Good, I have instructions. Maybe I can figure out how to transform this stupid thing.
Yeah, don't count on.
Probably not. Yeah, hey, highlights in color, too.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Cool. I doubt it's going to help.
All right, you can find show notes for this episode at tfradio.net/583. And don't forget, we have a voicemail line that you can also text. Although, don't send us voicemails about you being in a meeting. We like you, but we don't like you that much. We don't need to know you're in meetings. And you can do that at 931.
Yeah, we get some odd wrong numbers from time to time.
Yeah. We do. Yeah. We do. And that's 931-99-GOBOT, 931-994-6268. You can find the show on Twitter at TF Radio, on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio. Instagram, we are TF Podcast, and you can check out zonebase.org and also at Robo Rob Springer for all that Rob Springer goodness. And since I know he's busy, I will give a plug here for at John D everywhere. So if you want to follow
that
John
D.
At that John D. Yeah, it's okay. So
good job, Jason.
I am doing great. John. Did I mention my camera died before we streamed? Don, you like to tell people
At B Kilby is never going to let you host again.
That's true. I'm done. Don, you like telling people where you are.
I don't know. I mean, you've seen some of the shows I've done, and he still lets me host. I don't think Jason's quite gotten to that point yet.
Yeah, it's like 20 strikes and you're out, not 3, right?
I'll let you know.
Don, where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4, EVR.
All right. Diecast?
They can find me. Please subscribe to my channel.
Which is?
tfradio.net/reviews or on YouTube at youtube.com/RFCReviews. You can like and follow me on Facebook at Reviews by Diecast, and you can follow me on Twitter at Diecast2.
Matt or Chris, do either of you want to say anywhere that you can be found doing anything?
Well, you can go to T-Formers TV on YouTube to find the content I'm producing for these San Diego exclusives. And I'm sure this Bumblebee video is going to turn into something really interesting by the time I'm done with it.
Can't wait. And Rob.
I can be found on Twitter at Figure Reviewers and Flail Throughs on YouTube, which is currently all Gundam Battle Operation 2 all the time because, one, I'm really enjoying the game, and two, that has really been successful for me. So
good.
Thanks to everybody for good. Watching and subscribing and all that. And, of course, I will have another review coming up on T-Formers TV sometime soon as well.
Nice.
Well, I'm not ending the show until you mention your Patreon, too. Sorry.
Patreon.com/flailthroughs if you want to request a specific mobile suit for Battle Operation 2 or New Gundam Breaker, throw me a couple of bucks.
You should do that because Rob's doing it and having fun, and you'll have fun, too. All right. That'll do it for this week, everyone. Sigh of relief.
Don't worry. We'll probably be back next time.
We hope. He's been sick for a while.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah. Maybe we'll never see Kilby again.
Is that a threat?
No. Please come back, Brian. Please come back. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Please subscribe.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show since 1999. 100% girlfriend free since 1999.